Shalom. Today's daf yomi is Sanhedrin daf pei aleph, Sanhedrin 81. And on pei aleph, I'm at aleph. The Gemara was discussing Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 10 through 12, which discusses a very wicked person who committed many sins and discusses when, under certain circumstances, that person's offspring also committed those sins. In that context, the Gemara then moves on and cites Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 6, which discusses a very righteous person who is guaranteed as a result of their righteousness to benefit both in this world and in the world to come. And so the Gemara analyzes Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 6, and actually really verses 5 through 9. So it states in the verse, in Ezekiel, it says our Gemara, it says in the verse, what do we mean from the verse? When the verse states, El Haharim lo achal, it says in this verse, to the mountains he did not consume, which we would have assumed means he did not worship idolatry. And then the verse says, Ve'inav lo nasa el gilulei beis Israel, he did not turn his eyes towards the idols of Israel. Ve'eshes re'eo lo timei, the wife of his friend, he did not contaminate, meaning he did not commit adultery. Ve'elishanida lo yikrav, and he did not come close to a woman who is a nida, a menstrual woman. And the Gemara explains, as Rashi understands, that we cannot assume that this person is such a righteous person because he didn't commit these sins. These are major sins. They didn't worship idolatry. He didn't have adultery. That's what makes him such a righteous person. This seems like such major sins that, of course, we would expect that a person wouldn't do that. What qualifies this person as extra righteous? And so, therefore, the Gemara is going to assume that these verses mean something else. And that's what Rav Acha Bar Chanina taught. What does it mean, El Harim Lo Achal? It doesn't mean that he didn't worship idolatry. It means Lo Achal B'Schus Avosav. He didn't have to use the merits of his ancestors, that he was righteous on his own and didn't need the merits of his ancestors. And what does it mean when it says, Ve'inav lo nasel gilulei beis Israel? Doesn't mean that he just didn't worship idols of Israel. It means shelo halach bekoma zekufa, that he never walked with an upstretched neck. And we understand that from elsewhere in the Talmud, we learned already in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, that a person is prohibited to walk 4 cubits with upright walk, because that is considered to be like pressing against the divine presence. And we know from other sources, for example, from Sota 4b, that whoever walks and conducts himself in a haughty manner, it's like they're worshiping idolatry. So if a person carries himself in an arrogant manner, they're considered to be a sinner. And so therefore, this person never carries himself in an arrogant fashion. And then the next verse, how do we understand that Israel lo timei? This means shelo yarad umanus chaveru. It means he did not actually go down and compete with his friend in business. And the way the Rishonim explain this, and the way the Rambam explains this, is that if his friend had a shop, and if he would want to come from another city and open up a shop to compete with that person, that is something which our Gemara is saying that that's something you shouldn't do, and that's the main prohibition. However, both of them are in the same city, then you're not able to prevent somebody else from competing or opening up a shop. However, it is considered to be an act of piety not to compete with your friend in business unless it's absolutely necessary. And so therefore, this is what our Bryce is referring to. It's referring to somebody not coming from another city and opening up a shop and competing with a person who already had a shop in that town. And what is the next idea? It means shalonana mikupa shel tzedakah. He never benefited from the coffers of charity. And in this, if he follows in this ways, we say tzadiku chayo yachya, that he will be benefited. He's a righteous person and will be benefiting in this world and also in the world to come. And the Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Gamliel read this verse, he began to cry. He says, somebody who does all of these things, how is he going to be able to do all of these things? I can't even imagine doing one of these things. And somebody who fulfills all of these things is going to be considered a tzaddik. So Rabbi Akiva turned to Rabbi Gamliel and he said, no, you're wrong, Rabbi Gamliel, because we know that it says, when it comes to the curses, it says in Leviticus chapter 18:24, we're told, Alti tamu b'kol elo, that you should not do any of the the things that are considered to be a sin and defile yourself if by doing any of those things. It doesn't mean that you can't do all of those things. It means you can't do a single one of those things. So to hear, when it comes to good, if you do one of these things, ba'achas mikol eila, if you do just one of these things, then we assume that you are going to be receiving great reward for it, and you are going to be classified as a tzaddik. Just if you do one of these things that we talked about, like, for example, not benefiting from the coffers of charity. So about this, what does it mean to not benefit from the coffers of charity? Obviously, that there is a law that if a person is, and the baseline is, if a person has 14 meals to their name, we assume that they're not permitted to ask the community for charity. But here we're talking about a person who is able to really, by law, be allowed to get money from charity, from the communal coffers, but still, yet, he pushes himself, and he says he does not want to be a burden upon the community, because he understands the community has so many needs, and therefore, he's tzir atzmo, he puts himself out at great stress, and he works incredibly hard, just so he's not going to push the community beyond what he thinks is fair. And so such a person is the one who we're talking about as a righteous person, and we're told about such a person, then not only will he receive reward from it, but there will come a time where, because he didn't benefit from the communal coffers, he then will turn around and be able to benefit many other people. He will achieve such wealth. But one thing to note is the Aruch HaShulchan says, we're praising a person who doesn't take the money only because he doesn't want to inflict his pain and inflict extra need upon the community. But if he's doing it out of arrogance, he says, I'm too great to need it. No, such a person is not praised. We don't praise a person for that. We only praise a person for saying, I don't want to take because I don't want to hurt the communal needs.